Morning, we're going to start a brand new series called Philippians. If you don't have your book, your Philippians journal, raise your hand. Somebody will bring you your journal to your seat. We're gonna do this message series a little bit differently than we normally do. I'm going to put it back on you. I'm not going to give you an outline on Sunday mornings. We're going to look at the scripture, and here's what I'm going to ask you to do. There's a place on one side of the page that has the scripture. And then there's the other page, the opposite page, has a place for you to write notes. Now, you can use this in your quiet time. You can read those scriptures as we do this the next few weeks, and you can write down your thoughts in your journal. Or you could do that and save some space for Sunday morning. I'm not going to give you an outline on the screen as we have been doing. I want you to hear from God and write down what you believe God is speaking to you. It might be something that is said from the stage, but it might be something that is not said from the stage, that God is just doing in you, that you need to, it's just a thought that God gave you that you need for that moment so you can grow. So really, this is a moment of growth for every one of us. As we look through the scripture together, we're going to try to ascertain what the questions are, and what the answers are that Paul is trying to give us. But we're also going to say, Lord, what are you doing? We're moving forward a couple of thousand years from your scripture. We know it's the eternal word of God. What are you speaking to us today? Now, the message is not going to change, but your situation is going to be a little different than Paul and the Philippian church. And God's going to speak to you in this moment. This is kind of a grow-up moment for some of us to say, Lord, I know you got something better for me. I know you want me to grow spiritually. I know you want me to be stronger. So we're going to take this time over the next few weeks, and we're just going to deep dive into God's Word. Philippians has always been one of my favorite books of the Bible. Now, Philippians is a letter. It's the fourth one of Paul's prison letters. Now, for those of you that don't know what a letter is, let me explain. Back when my wife and I were in college, I was just getting ready to ask her to marry me. I was fired up. I was excited. I was broke. I had no reason to be getting married. I didn't have any money, but I was in love. So I was ready. And she says to me one day, without knowing that I'm getting ready, I'm thinking about this question. She says to me, I got the opportunity today to go next semester to England and live and go to college and travel all over Europe for the semester. And I went, yay, this is so great, woo. And I supported her through that. Now back then, long distance from the United States to England was about $1 a minute. Remember, I was broke. $1 a minute. It costs about $1 to send a whole letter. I could write as many I love yous as I wanted to. But it was going to take 2 weeks to get there. Now, here's the important thing about a letter. You got to say it all. Because once it's gone, you can't delete. You can't run it down and add something to it. You have to write exactly what you mean. You got to say it well. You can't leave anything out. Because once it's gone, it's gone. Now, if you send an email today, you send it and you go, oh, I forgot this. So you just send another one. Some of you send those long emails and then you forget stuff and you send more long emails. You can't do that with letters. Couldn't do that. That's not the way it works. So when Paul was writing this letter to the Philippian church, now he's in Rome, he's in prison, imprisoned in Rome, and he's writing this letter. He's sort of the father to this church. He needs this letter to go 800 miles. So he decides, I'm going to write the letter and I got to say everything that needs to be said, because once it's gone, once the courier grabs it, he gets on a horse, he gets on a boat, he gets on another horse, he walks it into these people in Philippi, they got to have everything I meant to say. I got to say what God is saying to them. Now, that's why we need to get that, because this letter to the Philippians is Paul saying everything that God needed to say to them in that moment. Now, moving forward to today, God is trying to say something to you and me in this letter. And so we got to remember that this was a big time moment for the Philippian church. When you're sending letters 800 miles, the message must be really, really important. Now we all have a stack of Bibles, and I'm not going to say we don't read them as much as we should, but maybe we don't read them as much as we should. All right? We got 100 different versions of the Bible on our phone. Do we read it? Do we value it? Imagine when the Philippian church got this letter the first time. The value that they knew that Paul is sort of their father in the Lord. He's their spiritual father. And now here's this letter. It's come from the long way off. Paul took time out to write directly to them. Now here's what's important about Paul. Paul, before he gave his heart to Christ, was a guy that persecuted Christians. He constantly wanted to tear Christians down, put them in prison, turn them over to the authorities so that they could be killed. He was just an awful person. And one day, the Bible tells us the story in the book of Acts. On the road to Damascus, Paul is on his way to do some more treacherous stuff, and he has this moment with God. He's riding along on this animal, and a light comes from heaven, a voice comes from heaven. He falls off, he goes blind. He's blind for a few days, and during that time, he realizes I really need to surrender my life to God. And he goes from being the person that persecuted the church to the one who preached to the world. He wanted everybody to hear the message. Now, that's an important thing. When God gets a hold of my heart, I want to share it with somebody. I want to tell somebody what God has done for me. I want to show them what God has done for me. And Paul went into overdrive. And now, on Paul's second missionary journey after he gives his heart to Christ, he goes to Philippi. And now the church at Philippi was started in a miraculous, after a series of miraculous events. The first thing that happened was Paul is getting ready with his group of men that traveled with him to spread the gospel. He is getting ready. They are deciding where they're going to go, and this is in Acts chapter 16. They say, we're going to go this direction. We're going to go to this town. And the Holy Spirit said, no. And they said, okay, we'll go to that town. Holy Spirit said, no. So they don't know where they're going. In the meantime, Paul has this vision from God. The vision goes something like this. A man appears to him in the vision and says, come to Macedonia and help us. Now, Philippi is a major city in Macedonia, which is now modern-day Greece, that whole area on the north side of the Mediterranean Sea. So this man in the vision says, come to Macedonia and help us. And Paul said, all right, boys, we're going to Macedonia. Let's go to Philippi. They get there. They're doing what they do. They're sharing the gospel here and there, but the Sabbath comes. And they decide, we're going to go outside the city. We're going to have some time. We're going to pray. We're going to talk. They're joining. They're having church. And a lady overhears them. The Bible says that God stirred her heart so that she would want to hear them. She is a believer in God, but she wasn't sure about this whole Christianity thing. And she hears Paul, and Paul leads her fully into a relationship with Christ. And then she gets baptized. Now, she's fairly well off, it seems, in the Bible. She was a dealer. The Bible calls her a dealer in purple. And she sold purple stuff to people. And the only people who bought purple stuff were people with cash, all right? Rich folks. So she's probably a woman of means, and she says, hey, you guys can come stay at my house. I want to hear more about Jesus. I want to give you a place to work from. And they go and they start living from there and sharing the gospel in this city of Philippi. One day they're out doing what they do, sharing the gospel, and a demon-possessed girl started to aggravate them, followed them around for days. I don't know why they waited days to do this, but finally, the Bible explains that Paul just gets upset and says he cast the demon out of her. Well, people got upset. There's a long story there. They were thrown in jail. They said, this is not the way we do it. This is not our custom. This is against our laws. You can't be doing this kind of thing. So they get thrown in prison. The Bible says that as they're thrown in prison in Philippi, they were put in stocks. and they were put down in the prison. And at midnight, Paul and his buddies start singing and praising God. Now, I don't know about you, but singing and praising God with stocks on in a dark, damp prison. Now, something's going on deep in your heart if you got that kind of joy, right? God's really doing some work in you at that moment. So when this happens, the Bible says an earthquake comes. Now, remember, this is miracle after miracle after miracle that starts the Philippian church. The Bible says that an earthquake came, and the earth shook, the prison shook, the prison doors flew open, the shackles came off of their feet. The jailer thought, these guys have gotten away, and the authorities are going to kill me when they find out I let these guys out. And he's about to fall on his own sword. He's about to commit suicide. And Paul goes, hey, we're still here. Out of the darkness. And the guy goes, I want to be saved. I want whatever you got, I want it. I want my life to be different. He was changed. His heart was changed so much right on the spot that he invited Paul and these other men to come to his home. He took care of their wounds and he fed them. And the man's entire family comes to Christ. So we've got these converts. We got Lydia and we've got this jailer and we've got all these different people coming to Christ. And they start what we know now is the Philippian church. It's Paul's second missionary journey. So Paul has this deep, deep love for this church. He has put blood, sweat, and tears into this. He knows God led him to this place to start this church, and then God miraculously answered those prayers, and God miraculously started this church. Now, why, after Paul finds himself sometime later in prison, the Philippian church, remember, they love him. So they send him a gift. We don't really know what the gift is, but he sends a gift. And in response to that gift, he has some things that God wants him to say to them. And he also, in this letter, wants to say, thank you for taking care of me, and thank you for loving me when I'm down on my luck. We know it's not down on his luck. We know God directed his steps. We know God had a plan. So he starts to write this letter. So what we're going to do is take chunks of scripture over the next few weeks, several scriptures each Sunday, and we're going to look at what the overarching message of that scripture is to each one of us. Now, we're going to start with Philippians chapter 1. Now, remember, Paul's in prison, and he's writing this letter to these people that he loves dearly. They have a special place in his heart. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 says this, Paul and Timothy. Timothy is a young man who was serving alongside Paul. Servants of Christ Jesus. Servants of Christ Jesus. Paul said, we're humble. We know we got nothing to offer except ourselves to God. We know whatever happens, we're just servants of God. Whatever is accomplished, it was God that did it, not us. So Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints, all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. So he wants to take some time to greet them. He says, look, this is your humble servants of God. To all the saints. Now this word saints is an important word. It means a holy one. People who have been separated, who have been set apart. Not people who think they're special. Not people who say, I want you to call me a saint or look at me, I'm the good example to follow. It's just people who have been set apart to follow Christ. So he's talking to a group of people that he knows are imperfect, but have been set apart for God's service. So he says, here he is, your humble servant, to all of you that have been set apart for the cause of Christ. Now, every time he remembered them, he was glad. Watch what he does here. Verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. He said, every time I think about you, I just go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for these people. Do you have anybody in your life like that? Every time you think about them, you go, woo, they're my angel. This person has just been good in my life. Paul felt that way about the Philippian church. Verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. He said, you joined with me. There's more going on than me just being a big shot, going around and starting churches. Me, my guys, and you, the Philippian church, we worked together. We partnered together to make this work. It's exactly what Landis was talking about this morning. When we say, Lord, I know you want to do something. I can't do it on my own. Who can I partner with? How is it? What is it that you want to do, God? And who do I need to work with to see this happen? Sometimes we are waiting for God to show us direction for our lives separate from everybody else. Separate from our church, separate from our family, and we're just very, very arrogantly saying, God, what do you have for me? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? He said, look, we partnered together. There was something special going on. He said, I've got confidence that God is doing something. I've got confidence that God is working in you and in me. He said, you've been with me from the first day when Lydia got baptized to now when I'm writing this letter to you now. You've been with me all the way. Now look at verse 6 and 7. The Bible says this, and I am sure of this, Paul said, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ, Jesus Christ. All right? It is right for me to feel this way about you because I hold you in my heart. I hold you in my heart. He said, I didn't just start a church over there. You're part of my family. I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. He said, my confidence is in two places. He said, my confidence is in God. I know what God has done. I know that he has never forsaken me. I know he is faithful. He's walking with me all the way. But I also have confidence in you, Philippians, my fellow believers, the ones who have joined with me. You've taken care of me in my imprisonment. You are defending and confirming the gospel by the way you live. You are spreading the gospel to people who don't know Jesus. I got confidence in God because he never left. He's answered. He's worked in my life. But I got confidence in you. I got confidence that you are doing the right thing, that I can trust you and we can walk this journey out together. He said, I thank God for you all the time. I'm extremely grateful for you. I'm also confident that you are going to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. I want to say this to somebody. There are moments in our life, 2020, there are moments in our life where we go, I'm not sure that's what God was calling me to do. I don't find the direction that I once had. I don't feel the calling that I once had. I don't sense the purpose that I once had. And Paul is saying, I got confidence that God, he's going with us. But I know that you are going to continue this path and God is going to finish what he started. Now, we all know people who start stuff and don't finish it. All right, don't look at anybody. We all know people that do that. Start the dishes and don't finish. Hallelujah. We know people, we get it. We understand how this works. Has it ever been your job to fold the clothes until your show came on? Honey, I didn't quite get finished. I'm not quite there. Paul is saying, look, God started this in you. What is it in your life that God started? If God started it, he's going to finish it, doggone it. He's not afraid of the future. He's already there waiting to help us in the future. So Paul said, look, this started. It started with a miracle. It started with the direction of the Holy Spirit. It started with a vision. It started with freeing demon-possessed people. It started with miraculous things. And it will continue until it is complete, until God is completely done with us. Now look at verse 8. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. He said, I yearn for you all. I yearn for you all. There were some moments when we're having church online. A few months ago, I'm like, oh, God, I just want to go to church. I just want to see my people. I just want to hang out with my friends. I just want us to be able to pray together. I want to be able to shake hands and hug necks. I just want to spend time. He said, I yearn for you all with affection of Christ Jesus. There's just a bond between believers. I've been at different places around the country when I'm going about my business and I find out, oh, there's another believer. There's this guy believes what I believe, and immediately there's a connection. I want to ask, hey, where you go to church? What do y'all do at your church? I just want to talk to him about what God, where'd you come from? What did God do in your life? I want to find out. Paul said, I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it's my prayer. Now watch this. It's my prayer that your love may abound more and more. He said, I want you to love each other more and more and more and more. John chapter 13 says this. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. Now, what? This is an important fact. John said, or Jesus said, this is how people are going to know that you are my disciples. Now, when I was a kid, I thought a disciple, a follower of Christ, looked a certain way. Back when we were growing up, everybody wore suits and ties to church. Now, that's how we know you are a follower of Christ, because you own a bunch of suits that you can't afford. No. I remember thinking that believers in Christ look a certain way. That's not at all what Jesus said. Jesus said, this is how people are going to know that you're my disciple, if you love one another. He said, people are going to look at you and they're going to know if you're a follower of Christ by the way you love people. So the question becomes this, do I show the world that I love people? Or am I always complaining about everybody in my life? I'll stop there. You just think about it later. They're going to know that we're followers of Christ by the way we love one another. And then Philippians chapter 1, verse 10 says this. So that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Now he said, I want you to love people. I want you to love each other. I want your love to abound more and more and more and more. I want this to show up in your life in a special way. But why? Why would it be important for me to love you more, you to love me more, us to love each other and love the world more? Why would that be important? Verse 10. It says, so that, it's almost an equal sign. He said, look, I want you to love everybody, and this is what's going to happen. So that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, the day of Christ's return, when we stand before God. He said, I want you to be pure and blameless. Now, here's what he knew. It's going to be very difficult for you and me to stand before God, pure and blameless, on our own. Just like the blanket. Sometimes we need somebody to pick us up. Sometimes we need somebody to carry us along the way. Sometimes we just need the encouragement. We need each other. He said in verse 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Paul was saying in these first 11 verses, I love you. I know where you came from. I know where I came from. And we're in this thing together. And I just care about you. I know you love me because you sent me gifts. You've been taking care of me. You love each other. You're unified in the Spirit. He said, this is important, but it's not just so we can have a good time right here and right now. He said, I want you to be pure, and I want you to be blameless on the day of Christ. We need each other. I need you. You need me. God created us to need each other. Even the Apostle Paul understood that we need each other. I'm going to piggyback off of Landis' scripture this morning. James 5:16. I'm going to read it in a different version. Let's take a look at it. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Are you struggling in a sin that has become a cycle in your life? Confess our sins one to another. He said, why? Because I want you to be presented before Christ blameless, pure. I want you to know Jesus. Colossians 1 and 9 says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you." So there's somebody praying for you. You need somebody praying for you. I need somebody praying for me. Galatians 6 and 2, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Bear one another's burdens. He said, we need each other. 1 Thessalonians, "Therefore encourage one another." You ever have that phone call where somebody just says, "Man, I just called to encourage you. I just called, I'm there for you. I got your back. I'm with you." I texted a friend the other day to encourage him, and the response came back, "Who is this?" He changed phones and didn't even tell me. And I told him who it was, and he said, "Wrong number." I said, "Oh, man." I said, "Sorry, have a great day." And this person responded to me, "This guy must have a lot of friends because you're the second one who's reached out to take care of him." So I sent it. I found where his new number and sent it to him, that text message. Somebody cares. We need each other to encourage one another. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says this, "Two are better than one." Two are better than one. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. If one falls, the other one picks him up. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. He said, "Oh, it's going to be hard if you fall and there's nobody there to pick you up." You ever notice in a football game after the play is over, the players always pick up their own team members? You never see a player reach out and pull up the teammate from a person from the other team. They're always picking up their own players. Why? Because they're on the same team. He said, look, if they fall and nobody's to lift them up, that's not going to be good. Then watch again. If two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. He said, you might be able to make it on your own, but man, if you just had somebody to help you, if you just had one more person to help you, to encourage you, to pray for you, to bear your burdens, you might make it. But if you just join with somebody else, Paul is really explaining to all of us that God gave us a family and God gave us a church because we need each other. Just look at somebody and go, I need you. Yeah. That's hard for some of us, isn't it? You mean I'm not enough? I need other people in my life? But some of us are we're gonna continue on. I'm tough. I don't need anybody. I'm just going to power through. Yeah, you'll probably make it, but my goodness, what if we joined together? The Philippian church was born out of miracles and divine guidance. The church is not just a social gathering. Here's what Paul's saying to us. It's not just a social gathering. God wants to build people up, and he's going to do it through spiritual means. He's going to do it through miraculous means. The church is the body of Christ. The church is God's plan for developing you and me. God wants to work in our lives. Paul said, I'm thankful for you. I thank God for you all the time. Do you feel sometimes that you're all alone, that maybe you're carrying that burden and you're about to fall down? First of all, our confidence, we can trust God. And secondly, we can trust each other. Now you can't trust me to be perfect. Because I'm going to mess that up. I'll mess that up. But you can trust me. That we can be imperfect together and we can grow together. And we can trust God together. And we can let God work in our lives. I can only imagine the Apostle Paul as he's sitting in this Roman prison, thinking about what God wanted to say to the Philippian church. And he starts off this first 11 verses saying, I just love you. And you guys have been so good to me. I'm so thankful for you. I just want to see you so much. I just yearn for you in Christ. I just want to be together. I know I'm in prison. I know you're 800 miles away. But we're close. We're close. I want to say to somebody this morning, if you don't have a relationship with God, you're going to start by putting your confidence in God. And then as your relationship with God grows, you're going to put confidence in the people around you that love Jesus. And I believe God's going to bless that. So if you don't know Jesus, whether you're right here in the building with us this morning or you're online, wherever you are, if you don't know Jesus, I want you to know him. It all starts with just knowing Jesus. The jailer met Jesus. Lydia met Jesus. This young woman who was demon-possessed met Jesus. God just worked. I don't know where you fit in all of this, but if you don't know Jesus and you want to know him this morning, he's waiting. The Bible says he's there knocking. All you got to do is open the door. And it goes like this: Lord, I confess my sins. I know I'm a sinner. I confess you as my Savior. I want to be saved. I want to be different. I want my life to be close to you. I want to serve you. And pray that prayer and let God do his work this morning. And I believe he will. I believe he will. Can we stand together, everybody? Let's pray that prayer right now. Lord, we just thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. And Lord, if there's anybody that is listening this morning that says, I just need a relationship with Jesus. I need to know Jesus in a brand new way. I need to surrender. Lord, I pray that you would forgive their sins, that you would accept them as a follower, that they would just surrender their lives to you and you would change them and save them and set them free. God, we give you praise for all you're doing. We pray that that journey with you would start now and would never end, but you would bring it to completion, that you would finish what you start. God, we give you praise right now for all that is happening. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Can we say congratulations to those who...